want to continue praising the Lord for just a minute. Last week, if you weren't here, we had Miss Amanda Bain, who was a missionary to South Africa. She's part of the creation of a school and helps lead some local churches there. And we took up a love offering at the end of that, and you guys in your faithfulness gave $4,100. So I just praise God for you. And that's in addition to the $16,770-some-odd that we've collected for Lottie Moon. So I just rejoice always that you are willing to support the work of the church. Our Lottie Moon goal is $35,000, so we're still collecting that, however God leads you to support that. But I rejoice that you do have open hands with what God has given you, and pray that we will always do that. And I know how awesome you are, but I wonder if you know how incredible you are. Not necessarily your personality, but your body. Like how you were made. Do you understand how incredibly you were designed? The incredible intricacy of every detail of your body? You understand that? Like, all formed from the dust of the ground by our Creator God. Right? Genesis 2:7 is where we read that. The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Intricate detail from the dust of the ground. And for every one of us born after Adam, God fashions us as he sees fit in our mother's womb in the same intricate display. Every detail, the touch of his work. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 tells us that, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." This is the work of God. You are the work of God. Eye color, natural complexion, fingerprints, blood type, gender, all the work of the divine. And your body, the way he created you, is diversity, or unity in diversity incarnate. You are one person, but you are made up of many, many parts. An estimated 37 trillion cells make up your body. They make up your heart and your blood and your fat and the nerves that make you, you. 37 trillion cells. There are 11 systems that operate your body and bring life to you. The integumentary system, that's your skin and hair and nails. I didn't say it right according to my wife. The skeletal system. The muscular system, the nervous system, the endocrine system, that controls your hormones, the cardiovascular system, the lymphatic system that protects you from disease, the respiratory system, the digestive system, the urinary system, the reproductive system. 11 systems, every system designed by God with an independent function, but with an interdependency on every other system. If one goes wrong, the whole thing sucks. Every system. Necessary for a fullness of life. And there's great complexity in that design, but also simplicity because we are one. One body, one person made up of trillions of members. We function without much thought or concern about that, right? We don't have to think about, like, I hope my endocrine system's releasing those hormones right today, or my blood's pumping right today. We don't worry about those things that let us move and be alive and thrive until one of them starts to fail. When there's an issue, then we begin to focus on it. But I love that this metaphor, the body, is how Paul uses to describe the church. Because just as you are a living body, the church is a living organism. One body of Christ that is made up of many members. We are alive in Christ, and the church is alive and growing, and not meant to merely survive, but meant to thrive in an abundance of life as God saves more and more and draws them into the body. We'll see this metaphor in 1 Corinthians 12:14-20. And we'll look this morning, if you want to turn with me there, what it means to be a church member, the necessity of every church member, and the great need of every member to function as God has gifted them for the effective life of the local church. 1 Corinthians, that's the seventh book of the New Testament. Your Bible's split into two books, two collections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth that was just struggling as a body with systemic dysfunction. And in doing so, they were bringing dishonor to Jesus. So if you'll turn with me there, if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you, or it'll be on the screen behind me. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 14. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." Let's pray together. Gracious and holy Father, You are good. You give us so much. And You shape us, and we are but clay in the potter's hand, and You shape us and You form us, and you do this purposely. There's a responsibility to be carried out with the way that You shape us and the way that You gift us. And I pray, God, that as we gather today, that we will understand that and that we will submit to You. And we will not neglect to be used for what You have made us to be used for. That we will not look at the gift that You've given us beyond eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That we would not look at that spiritual gift that You have placed in our hearts and desired for us to use for Your glory. We will not look at it and say, "I want another. Your God, this gift isn't good enough." But that we will bow in wonder that You, our God, would give us anything at all. And that we, God, would desire more than anything else for our lives to make an impact for Your glory. That we would long for our lives to point to You so that others may see Your magnificence. Use each one that's gathered here today for that purpose, God. Let the truth of this scripture show us that we are important for the work of ministry at Harmony Baptist or wherever else we may be a member, because You have made us that way. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 14, Paul writes, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." So the church at Corinth all wanted to be alike. Many of them wanted to be the head, and they all thought that if they just figured out their own head, they could make a go out of it themselves. And so some of them say, "Well, I follow Paul," and some of them say, "Well, I follow Apollos," and some of them said, rightfully so, "I follow Jesus." You see, a body can only have one head, one that they look to. And so there was division created there as there tried to be multiple bodies created, and it created this dysfunction and this dissension between them so that they were ineffective for anything that God had called them to. And on top of who they followed, who was their head, they had this desire, this selfish desire for the glamorous spiritual gifts. They wanted to heal, and they wanted to do miracles. They wanted to prophesy. They wanted to speak in tongues. They all wanted to be the teachers. They wanted the gifts that would make somebody look at them and say, what a godly person, how close to God they must be. They wanted to be flattered as they used their gifts. They wanted the same things for the same reason, pride and selfishness. And how often does that lead us to a place that we should never be? This brought corruption into their members. Their pride of sin, their pride and their selfishness brought corruption to the body of Christ so that it was struggling to be alive. Paul said there are things happening among you that don't even happen to the heathens outside of them. They were so far from where they had been saved to be. But in verse 14, Paul begins to draw them back. He speaks to the beauty of unity and diversity. He says, I got the cure for what's wrong with your church, and it is the unity that is to be found in the diversity of the many individuals. He says, our bodies are made up of many members, but they all function as one. Each part does its individual job to make the whole function effectively. Each member, each system, each individual part has been designed by God to function for the good of the whole body. I hope that you get this morning. It's the same way with the church. Just as every part of your body goes to function for you to thrive and have the abundant life that Jesus desires for you, the body of Christ is designed to function through the interdependency of unique disciples putting their gifts to work. We need each other. Every one of us. We don't all have the same spiritual gift, but we all have a spiritual gift or gifts. And there's a variety of them. Paul speaks to that in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. He says that there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all. And then get this last in verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. Did you catch that at the end? See, the goal of your spiritual gift is not the celebrity of the gifted, but the common good of the body as a whole, the church as a whole. And that depends on you using what God gave you for His glory, for the edification of the body around you. The fullness, the perfection, the completeness, the abundant life of the body of Christ depends on you as an individual using your gift for the good of the whole. Every believer has a gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. You have a gift. If you've been saved, you have a gift. A precious gift. You understand what that means? That beyond salvation, which is a free gift of God, beyond that, God looks at you, and He looked at you, and in His power, He said, I'm going to give you this precious gift. I'm going to make you a helper. I'm going to make you a great servant. I'm going to make you a leader. I'm going to make you a prophet. I'm going to make you useful. With this precious gift, I'm only giving this to you. I'm only putting this in you. You have a unique purpose, unique design to use this gift. And you're the only one that can use this gift the way I have designed you to use it. You get that? That the Lord God gave that to you? And He says, it's not for you. I'm giving you this gift, but what I'm really giving you is the responsibility to use it for somebody else. For the common good, so that somebody else can be ministered to. That is a loving God that would give us that. And I want you to understand that if God gave it to you, He gave it to you purposely. And He gave it to you to be used for the common good. Your gift, no matter what it may be, is necessary for the effective function of the body of Christ. And it's easy to think Why you had to give me this gift, God? Why couldn't you give me one of them showy ones? Why couldn't you give that bigger guy, isn't that great? Why couldn't you make me the one that can stand up there and do that? It's easy to feel like you're missing out when you don't get an out front gift, right? A glamorous gift. Why doesn't my gift matter? It's easy to get there. God, all you gave me to do was to help people. That's all the gift you gave me. What am I going to do with that? Can I have another one? As if God could ever give a bad gift. Some of this is our fault as a church, right? Because we want to praise the out front gifts. We want to praise the leader. We want to praise the teacher. We want to praise the singer. We're so prone to make celebrities out of people because we just want something to idolize. So we elevate them. We want to make celebrities out of our pastors and out of our singers. And we make much of those that teach well, but we don't often celebrate those in the background who are just as vital to the work of ministry in the church as those that are out front. So it's easy for people to say, I got a gift of service, but they got 50 other people that have the gift of service. I can just sit here. I don't think they really need me. Church has got a good music team. They got good leadership. I don't have much to offer other than being in the background, so no one will miss me if I just hang out in the pew. What will my contribution mean anyway? Now let me ask you something. You had your kid, those of you that have kids, get something from you, and be like, I don't want this. I don't like this. This is not what I asked for. Anybody ever had a kid do that to them? And what do we call that kid? Ungrateful. If you really ain't feeling it, then you're ungrateful little brat, right? Don't call your kid brat. Though they are sometimes. So we do the same thing to the creator of the universe. God, my gift isn't good enough. Why don't you give me one of these other ones so I can really be useful? Thankfully, God is more gracious than I am in responding to us. He's long-suffering. But it's to this mindset that Paul writes, this ungrateful mindset that Paul addresses in verses 15 and 16. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that diversity in the body does not create a hierarchy. There are no good gifts or bad gifts. There's no upper gifts and lower gifts. There's no primary gifts and secondary gifts as far as it comes to how we're gifted. We should not be envious of other gifts or look down on our own, because every gift is important, because every gift is from God. His sovereign hands placed it in you and said, use it. Just because you fail to recognize the importance of your gift and put it to work does not make your gift any less important to the body or any less a part of the body. It just makes you disobedient and ungrateful. Paul's telling the church at Corinth and us here today that we should not reject our role in the effective function of the church just because we don't see or understand its importance. If it's from God, it is good and it is useful. You think a foot's not important? I love turkey hunting. Some of y'all know that about me. Turkey hunting, you sit on the ground sometimes for hours at a time, because turkeys see real well, and so you sit like this, and you sit there for hours sometimes. And so one day I worked this turkey for about an hour, and had him about 80 yards. He could see me, I could see him, but he would not close. And so I sat there, and eventually he got close enough for me to take a shot, and I did. And when you shoot a turkey, what you do is you run towards them so that they don't get away. Don't know why we do that, but that's just what I saw on TV when I was little, so that's what I do. Well, on this particular day, there's a nerve that runs down the back of your leg, and I had compressed that nerve and put this whole side to sleep, and so I shoot the turkey, I stand up to run, and I just fall over. If ever you think your foot is not important, let it go to sleep and then try to use it. You won't get where you want to go. The same is true with your spiritual gift. When we fail to use them, we are robbing somebody of the ministry that we were meant to serve. So that foot serves an important function. It might not look like much, might be hairy, but it serves a point. It's got a purpose. God ordained that purpose. And if you are saved by grace through faith, then you have a gift. And there's somebody here or somebody that will be here that needs you to use it so that they can be built up and useful. I want you to understand that if you've been saved by grace through faith, you have an important role to play in the life of this church. See, right now, there are men and women serving in the background that are vital to this service. There's people working the technology. There's people serving with our children. There's people walking the grounds and watching the cameras to make sure that we're safe. And their names don't get blasted. And you don't get to hear from them a lot. But they are important. They are using their gifts for God's glory. See, God doesn't do things haphazardly. Every gift is purposefully given by the God of the universe. And if there was not a variety of gifts, we would all just spin around in circles with nowhere to go. Like a car with one tire. If we were all teachers, there'd be no one to teach. It'd just be a bunch of people sitting around talking at the same time. And if you don't believe me, go to a staff meeting at a school. If we were all helpers, there'd be no one to lead. If we were all leaders, we'd never get anywhere because we'd all be going different directions. That's Paul's point in verses 17 and 19. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? And then 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? Here's where it would be. Without diversity, the body would be handicapped. The body would be handicapped. We would fall down again and again and again. Without a variety of gifts, we would be unable to build one another up. We might think it would all be nice to have the same showy gifts, but the reality is this: uniformity bears no fruit. Uniformity bears no fruit. If your whole body was made up of eyes, you'd just be a monster that lacked hearing and smell and taste. And you'd never get anywhere or do anything. You just look. There needs to be a variety. We don't want cookie-cutter Christians at Harmony. We want you to be uniquely you. The you that Jesus saved and the Spirit gifted. Now, we're all called to the same Christ-like character, but we're not all called to focus on the same things and do the same things. We want you to be a Christian snowflake, not the political type, but the type that isn't exactly like any other, but is exactly the way God wanted you to be used by Him for His glory in the effective function of this church. And make no mistake, the beautiful truth of this that Paul points to in verse 18 is that the sovereign God is the one that gifts and brings people into the body. You are not here by mistake. You're not here by chance. You're here because God has something for you to do here. Verse 18, he says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. That phrase, but as it is there, that Paul uses to start verse 18, is the reality that there is diversity in the body. As it is, as there is diversity and a diversity of gifts, as there are different members, diverse gifts across them, yet equal and important. The diversity exists because God ordained it. Because this is His plan. See, those of you that are here today that have been saved by grace through faith have been saved because God did it. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. Ephesians 2. All those that are here today were led here by God's sovereign hands. You got in the car. You might think that you just set an alarm and got up this morning and got in the car in this wet weather to come of your own volition. But Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. If you're here as a member or a guest that is thinking of becoming a member, that is the leading of God. And God has put you here or is calling you here because you have a gift that this body needs to function effectively in the mission of God, to seek and save the lost. Not to make the name Harmony Baptist stand out, but to make the name of Jesus stand out. The name that brings salvation to those that believe.
Amen.
That is why you are here. Just as God knits us together in our mother's wombs, He knits the church together, fitting each member with a distinct gift and purpose where they need to go. Just as every cell in your body was designed by God for an important purpose, so were you. You understand that? You are important. You are vital. You are necessary. Not on your own, but because the sovereign God of the universe has ordained it. And because He has work for you to do. And in that truth, don't run from your gift. Don't look down on your gift and don't neglect your gift. Trust that God knows what He's doing. And that He has a plan for your gift to be meaningful. Trust that every member has a God-ordained, vital, and necessary role to play in the effective function of the local church. Whether you are 7 years old or 100 years old, you have a vital role to play in the effective life of this church. You know what's going to make an impact in our local schools? If those children that are believers go and tell their friends about Jesus. That is the role for them to play. You know what's going to play a part in turning around the 40% divorce rate? If Christian brothers and sisters will come alongside those that are struggling and say, this is God's design for marriage. To be that ear to listen at times, to be that shoulder to cry on, but always to point them to the Word of God and says, this is how you should be living. All of us have a part to play. Sin is the only thing that will corrupt this body. It's the only thing that does corrupt. It's what corrupted the church at Corinth. In sinful pride, the people neglected their gifts because they weren't jealous of these others that had showing gifts. They sinfully chased after these glamorous gifts, even if it meant stepping outside of the Bible to do it. And their sin, like a disease of the systems of the body, caused the church at Corinth to be crippled and ineffective. But brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ is greater than the sin that is in you. The blood of Christ is the answer for all of that. The gospel had Corinth kept the gospel center, which Paul drove them back to, they would have been focused on doing what they were called to do with the gifts they were given. They would have been grateful just to be used by a God that would send His Son to die for them. And I hope you are too. They couldn't pursue the glory of God because they didn't submit to His sovereignty. Let's not do that, church. Let's not just struggle to survive as the corruption of sin causes disease throughout us. You know, there are a bunch of churches around us right now. I talk to brothers all the time that are leaving these churches. They are struggling just to survive. Numbers dwindling. They can't understand why. And most of it comes down to they got a bunch of eyes all looking at what's wrong and no hands and feet to go fix it. They got a bunch of people sitting on the sidelines looking at the world go to hell while they say, well, I got my ticket to heaven. Let's not do that, church. Let's not just stay alive. Let's thrive. we seek the glory of God in the use of our gifts. And I'm just going to put this out there, sitting on the sidelines as a spectator to God's work is not a spiritual gift. That is not a part of the game. Now, there is much work to be done, and you don't have to ask my permission or anybody else's permission to do it. You see something that needs to be done, and you're gifted to do it, get to work. Right? If it's an existing ministry, you talk to somebody here about serving. But if you see a need in our community and you have a gift to meet it, get to it. If you're a teacher and there's not an open Sunday school class, there's not somewhere for you to teach, you go to your neighborhood and you find somebody to teach. You go to your co-workers and sit up in the break room and y'all talk about Jesus. Find somebody to teach. If you're a helper, there are plenty of people in need around us. Get to work. I'll help you use that gift however I can. But you do not need my permission or my guidance in every step of using that. He gave that gift to you to be used for His glory. Use it. That's my exhortation to us all today, to myself and all of you that are here. Find your gift and get to work. Our effectiveness as a church depends on every member using their gift from God for His glory. You might be saying, I don't know what my gift is. There's a QR code on the screen behind me that leads to a spiritual gift inventory. You scan that, it'll pop up, and you take it, you fill it out, it doesn't take long. But it'll help you understand the way God has gifted you and what He's gifted you to do. There's a work that God has ordained for you if He's saved you. He's ordained that we need you and that you need us. So let's get to work together for His glory and bring more and more workers into the fold. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I rejoice in all that you are, and I stand in awe of the fact that even beyond salvation, there are gifts that you have given us. God, we didn't deserve Jesus, and you gave it to us. We don't deserve His sacrifice at the cross where His blood was poured out and His body was broken that we might be saved. And yet, God, you tell us to partake of it, to drink from the cup and eat of the bread that represents that. And God, even beyond that, you said, here's some more benefits. You're going to have this gift. And there's going to be fullness of joy in using that for my glory. God, I pray that we never, ever neglect what you've given us in that. That we embrace it with our whole hearts, knowing that this is the purpose that you have put us on earth, to use this gift that others may see the glory of Jesus Christ and call on His name for salvation. That they can look at the God who gave us this gift and said, how great is God? God, I know this probably sounds like foolishness to somebody sitting here today. I know there's probably one that is far from you and this is all fell on deaf ears. I pray, God, in this moment that they would understand that they are a sinner. Your word tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us has lied about something. We have stolen from something. We have put something before you. And in that truth, we stand guilty of the whole law. And yet, God, the wages of sin is death. And so that is where we are headed apart from Jesus. But at the cross, He said, there is a way to be saved. And so I pray that they know that they are a sinner, feel the full conviction of that, but also the beauty that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of yours is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you will conquer that lying tongue and that thieving heart and that idle factory that they have in Sodom, and you will set up residence as their God if they will confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that you raised him from the dead. If they will repent of their sins, changing their whole focus, no longer looking to the things of this world, but looking to Jesus as Lord. God, I pray that that truth, that your spirit is planted in the heart of someone today, that they too can be grafted into this body to become a member of it, and that they will take that gift that you give them in that moment, that spiritual, supernatural gift, and they will join us in this work to glorify you and bring salvation to the people around us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let it happen, God, as only you can. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.